Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our One Heart, One Earth November Awakening event for 2020. Please, please, please tune in here and tune out of the narrative that's outside there, because we are here focused on love and light and health and healing and spirituality. And I'm just so happy to have so many new people in our community. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this. If you have joined our MeWe community, please take time to introduce yourself, share your photos if you want to. Some of you guys have already done that. We're building such a strong support system there in a space that does not censor. So please go in there. And for all of you who are new, please press subscribe. Please go to oneheartoneearth.net. We have 34 pre-recorded presentations, and we have 62 hours of live starting last Saturday, going through this Saturday. So welcome in, and I'm so excited about our guest today, Tim Walter. He's going to be talking about healing your home and world. Tim, I feel like we just talked, but I'm so happy to have you back.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me. It's great. And I think the way that you present this stuff is fantastic. I'm hoping that you're going to be asking me lots of questions, because I'm looking forward to having a discussion rather than just sitting here and doing a monologue. I always find that I try to encourage, when I'm doing lives on my YouTube channel, I try to encourage the chat participants to have a conversation and to ask the questions. And that is by far the best way forward, I think, if that's... you know, I think it's much more fun to have a conversation than somebody just sitting here and pontificating.
I totally agree. I think this is like the word summit went away for this November event, because I think everyone is doing that. Everybody's got all these endless presentations, and it's been awesome. We did three events like that, but I'm with you. I think all of you in the community, we invite you, comments, questions, shares, anything in this comment box. Like, that's the best part. So I agree with you. I think conversation is the best way to go rather than just droning on and on, because it's about our alchemy, right?
It is. That's right. Yeah, exactly. I think it's a bit unfair of me to sort of say, well, you know, let's get people asking questions. Most of the people I suspect that might drop into this, whether it's live or on the playback, they won't have a clue who I am. So I guess I better sort of explain who I am and go from there to at least give some information that we can work from. So my name is Tim Walter, as you kindly say. I'm a house healer and alternative life coach. And really, it's the house healing side of things that is the primary aspect that people get really interested in, because, you know, life coaches are two a penny, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. We all need life coaching in some form or another, even if we don't realize it, but we get it from various sources. But the house healing work is what's really, really, really interesting for me, because it enables us to help somebody in a certain situation by initially starting to work on their environment, on the environment in which they live. And we're working very much from a very fundamental sort of basic energy level, where we do absolutely work with the idea that everything is connected. We are all connected as human beings. But more than that, we're intimately connected to our surroundings. I mean, you know, this office, this room is me, complete with repairs. It's on the wrong side. The repairs that need to be done. You know, I have repairs that need to be done to myself. I'm not, you know, I'm work in progress, just as our house is. So as a house healer, that's what I do. I work remotely. I work with clients all over the world, anywhere in the world. People come to me for various issues. Quite often it's things like depression, lack of sleep, Sometimes just people feeling out of sorts, not able to feel relaxed in their own home, which is an interesting one because you think straight away, well, why did they buy it in the first place? Well, on a very human level, you know, where we live actually very often has a whole bunch of lessons to teach us. And we can quite often learn this sort of, learn some quite interesting life lessons from where we live and where we choose to live, or rather where the universe has chosen to put us. So I use dowsing to identify issues. I go through a checklist of about 50 or so section headings looking for detrimental aspects that affect people. And that can range from simple things like spirit activity. I say simple, sometimes it's not so simple to kind of work with, but they're very basic and well-known things like spirit activity. Through earth energy, ley lines, spirit lines, the memory of place, you know. We deal with the actual land that the house has been built on. What has gone on there before that might be adversely affecting somebody. And we deal with modern things like technopathic stress, so EMF, so electromagnetic fields. Some people are incredibly sensitive to them. Some people aren't, you know. It's a whole can of worms, that in itself. So we identify what the issues are, we plot them out on a floor plan, and then we ask the management upstairs, which is my term that I adopted from my mentor, Hamish Miller, to address spirit and all of those, the ultimate creator, as the senior manager, we might say. But the management, basically, we communicate with those beings and those personalities and those aspects of the subtle realms to affect the change for the individual client. So, yeah, in a nutshell, that's what I do, which is, I wouldn't say that it kind of gets me so excited that I bounce out of bed in the mornings. I've never been one for that. I'm sort of like filling my heart with glee as I wake up. But, after a nice coffee or something, then I'm getting going and I'm quite keen to get on and see what goes on with the world. But, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we will need that for sure. Well, you know, one of the questions that was on my mind, because I was thinking about you and your topic and who you are, and I was like, you know what I want to talk about is my house has changed a lot this year. Now, I'm sort of one of those crazy energy people that I'm kind of redoing my house a lot. I'm very always cleaning, always moving stuff around. I think I'm always shifting the energy around. But we have moved whole rooms. We have changed. And some of this was logistical. Right. Some of it was, where am I going to be a YouTuber? I never thought I'd be one. So all of a sudden, it's like, I can't just, like, you know, sit in the kitchen and do a tarot reading. Like, I have to go find a spot to be. But part of it was also energy because we're all at home. And it was like, well, yeah. Shoot, if all four kids are at home and my husband's at home and I'm at home and we all have to be on electronic devices, excuse me, all these things. And so I'm curious for you, two-part question. One is, have you noticed with yourself and your clients that a lot is changing the home environment because we're at home? We actually have to sit in our house. And what are some of the things that you might recommend to people? Because I'm telling you what, man, I've never moved stuff the way I have this year or cleaned or even saged or just, it's like you're so aware of your surroundings because there's nowhere else to go.
It's been a classic year, hasn't it? It has been absolutely classic. I mean, I think just sort of stepping back from your question in a second, which we'll come on to in a minute. But I think in terms of generally, therapists and those connected to spirit had been aware for a good 12, maybe more years that something big was going to happen soon, you know. And let's face it. Most indigenous people's prophecies, ancient prophecies, have been saying, prepare yourselves for the time when everything will change. And the only way you're going to get through this is to have a really different perspective on who you are and what you are. So this kind of feeling of there's something going to happen. And of course, a lot of people were really stressed out about the turn of the millennium, which of course was never going to be a significant date in that sense. So here we are with COVID-19 coming through as a virus, and I'm not even interested in talking about, you know, the source of the virus. The fact is we have a virus. And viruses are really, really interesting because, for one thing, most of evolution, viruses play a really important role in evolving species, because viruses, like this one, is involved with the way DNA functions. So, there wouldn't be life on Earth as we know it without viruses. So it's an interesting thing. Let's sidestep the whole issue of conspiracy theory and all the rest of it, because that's not important as far as I'm concerned. What I like to do is rather just look at the picture and assess the picture, all the aspects of the picture, ignore Newtonian physics in terms of cause and effect and what's going on, but just look at what is being presented. So in that circumstance, if we come to your question, you have been changing your world around hugely within the house, because your world, each of our worlds, is purely what we can experience through our five senses. So our concept that we know, and we acknowledge that there is a wider world, there are 7.8 billion people out there, I believe, something like that. We know that the Earth exists, we know that there are 7.8 billion people out there, but that's not your world. That is not your world. Your world is your children, your pet, your husband, that you may be allowed to meet. I don't know what stage you're out of lockdown or not, but those people that you directly interface with. To a certain extent, I'm not even in your world, because we're having a connection, we're having a conversation, we are sharing information, and that's what really we're talking about in all levels, whether we're talking on a man-made level, a human-made level, but sharing information by speaking. Now, obviously, you can hear my voice, I can hear your voice, I can see a representation of you, but I am not actually in your world, apart from this 40 minutes or so. Your world has completely changed. You've restructured your world in accordance with something that has come in from outside. And it's as simple as that. So your choice is, what do you do? Where do you sit for your studio? Where do the kids work? Where does your husband work from home? What happens? How do we cope with this? These are very structured and sensible, you know, logistical sort of common sense issues. But the bigger thing is how you feel about it. Mm. That's the bottom line, is what do we actually feel about the change of circumstance that we actually find ourselves in? So for me personally, and do say if I'm talking too much about me. But for me, because I live remotely, you know, this is a very rural location in England. England is a very crowded island. We've got 7 million or 8 million people living in this tiny space of a country. No, it's more than that, 80 million. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But there's a lot of people here. And I live in a rural part of it called North Yorkshire, which is a national park. So I have a mile to go before I hit anything like a village or a road. So what has COVID-19 done here? Well, all it's meant is, actually, my wife works in part of the house over there. She now works from home rather than traveling out and coming back every day. And what does that mean? Well, it's actually lovely, because it means we see each other more. You know, it's just the two of us and our pets. We see each other more. It's great. So for me, in that sense, it's done us a world of good. I feel really, really sorry for people that are stuck in cities with no outside space. Certainly that first lockdown that we had here, beginning of the year, that was not a good time for a lot of people. But again, for those people, for every single person, it's up to us to actually decide how are we going to respond to the pressures that we are now faced with. And of course, it's not about sort of, you know, being strong and kind of facing up to it and dealing with it, getting on with it and crushing those feelings. You know, we wouldn't be talking in that sense on a spiritual based channel such as this. It's actually about allowing ourselves to explore the feelings of vulnerability that we are often going to be put under. You know, why do we feel this, that somebody, you know, that your other half is getting, you know, is is not respecting your boundaries, for example, which would be a common one for a couple living together, for example. So why does that, and what's that telling us about the way we are? What's that telling us about how we've got to be the person that we are? All of these questions that we can ask on an intellectual level, but also we can feel in here and just allow, if we sink up into that energy, that feeling of the conflict, what does it mean for us? Where do we learn? What do we learn from it? And how do we heal from it? Every single house that every single person is in that is going through this time, they are either responding really positively, and of course what we see is a lot of people working on their houses and doing all the jobs that need to be done and doing the physical stuff of repair work and updating and enlivening the house from the inside. And that's symbolic actually of what's going on for them anyway, because while they're doing that, they'll be thinking about, how do I want to live? What's really important to me? I didn't really like that job anyway that I was going off to work. When all this is over, I'll look for another job. I'll do something else. You hear all the time of people rediscovering their connection to their families, spending time with the kids, stopping them playing on the Xbox and all the rest of it, and actually having some family time. This has been not only a difficult time for so many people, but an incredibly healing time for a lot of people. Now, what's going to be interesting is what happens on the back end of this, because I'm not sure that I've actually even answered your question yet, Lisa, but you can steer me back round to it again in a minute. But what is really interesting is we have this healing opportunity. And when we look at life from a spiritual point of view, we are looking at it all the time from that point of awareness, from ourselves as an individual point of awareness, a perspective of awareness that is aware of all the information coming to them, right? So we're aware now what we feel, what we think, what's coming to us. Is there anything else that's present that we can't even necessarily feel as a tangible existence? And a lot of these reactions are based on our emotions. The one big emotion that we all share that is a major stumbling block for everybody is fear. And the COVID-19 virus, of course, levels of fear for so many people, collectively and individually. A lot of people are just getting through because they're not awake, and they are just going through and saying, when will they get a vaccine out? And I want, give me the vaccine, no matter what. Now, to me, and this reflects my fear, that's the part of this that actually I'm really uncomfortable about, because what happens next, on so many levels, it's when the vaccine appears, or the number of vaccines appear, what, and this reflects my fear, as I say, and this is important to everybody, not because I'm saying that there are things to be fearful of, but because I'm trying to illustrate that I have a concern, and I know that as I put energy into that concern, the chances of the concern manifesting as a reality are very, very strong, especially in the sort of work that I do, because I'm always, if you spend years connecting to the management and asking the management to manifest change or create the change in somebody else's reality, then what happens is, just by default, one's connection to the management gets quite reflexive. Now, I'm not saying better or worse or anything like that. I'm just saying it's very quick. So, when we think about things, things change. So this is the challenge that we all have, is to actually acknowledge the point of awareness, I would express it as the point of understanding, the point of awareness when new information comes into your awareness, your point of view, your presence, in no matter what form that takes. But it has to be information. So let's say, I read only this morning that there is a particular vaccine that has been developed. So I was looking into that a little bit more. I was reading a standard press release about it. Now, okay, so that's a standard press release, but let's see where that goes. What I'm saying is, so my point of awareness of new information coming into my reality was that moment that I picked up the actually it was an internet article. So the moment that I saw that internet article, that very moment that I was reading that and I decided to continue reading it, I was accepting information into my awareness, into my reality. And that's the crucial point to be aware of. Because in healing, that's what we need to look out for, is when do things change? What is new information that comes in? What is different now to what it was? You know, I mean, for example, we were chatting before we went live. You have a new cat. That's new information. You know, that cat, I know, you know, everything is information, and your cat is new energy, new information. It reflects an aspect of you and the children and the husband. You know, it's something has changed in your environment. What does it do? What does it bring out for you? What does it, you know, what change does it create? Anyway, I'm rabbiting a lot. Now, did I get anywhere near answering any aspect of your question?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter because I love what you're saying. And I think there's some key things you said there that I just wanted to kind of touch on with my own experience too. And you're talking about the going into those conflicts and seeing where that sits with yourself and your body and your environment and your home. And I'm a Scorpio. So being at home by myself is like heaven on earth. So I've worked remote as a psychic my whole career of being a psychic. I mean, for the last 16 years, I've always worked remote. I've had offices, I've worked with people in person, but I've just had a client base. I'd say 80% of my clients were out of state. So we were always on the phone. I mean, I was like on a handset, like plugged into the wall back in the day. So a lot of my personal experience didn't change with this either. Oh, here's the kitty jumping down. Now I can move around a little bit. She was sleeping. My experience hasn't changed with my own personal self. But what has changed is, just like you're saying, all of a sudden my husband's home all the time and the kids were home for a while. They're back at school right now. So that's good. But I was definitely going through that experience of, I need my alone time. I'm a spiritual person. Like I need, and it's not even being a spiritual person, but I think for me, I spend a lot of time like with myself and, you know, in meditation and journaling and things. And all of a sudden that time was taken away. And there really is work, energy work with that. That's that shadow, you know, energy, that conflict energy where my husband and I really had to sit down. It was actually part of our house move, was me saying, I have to have some kind of space to be, and, you know, creating that space. And then also what you're saying about, you know, that point of awareness, I think that's so important because there is, you can let anything in. And it's not just the media, although the news is challenging right now. If you just look at it, it's like, oh my gosh, the energy of it is very stressful and it can generate a lot of stress. But it can also be going to the grocery store. Every time I go to a food store, I can feel the fear energy. I can feel the stress. I can feel, you know, all of us are sitting in the unknown. And so looking at that and how that's impacting you and your home environment in your own world, as you said, you know, we're all in our own worlds and it's about what we're co-creating. And if we co-create with spirit and the management, like you call it, if we co-create with spirit, our world and our space, things are pretty great. Like our home's pretty great. Yeah. The kids don't really care about any, you know, they're doing their life and we have our life. Yeah. But if you start to let in all that other energy, it can be very stressful. So it is really important to look at what you're letting into your space. And then Tim, what do you do? Like, how do you get it out? So you get the fear comes in or the stress energy or whatever you guys want to call it. But like, what do you do then? I mean, I think I've been doing so many energy clearing meditations and just trying to like drain it out.
Well, I mean, I think for, you know, for the individual, I'll answer it by talking about what I do personally, right? But I think you've just said it, because that's what I do. If I get fearful, which I do, you know, I mean, I think I was probably the scaredest male for about, you know, the scaredest male on this planet for about 30 years of my life. I don't think anybody would have been more terrified than I was of absolutely everything. So I know about fear. And, you know, for no reason, basically. So I meditate. I do meditate, and I ask the management to take it away from me. And I also, one of the things that I do and found was really, really effective for me, and I'm sure that other people will find this too, is that if you just allow that emotion to drain out through your legs, down your legs, through your feet into Mother Earth. Now, I've said this to some people in the past, and they said, "Oh no, but you can't. It's just leaving. You know, it's you can't pollute the earth with your crap." Excuse the word, but you know. Yeah. But actually, that's the point. Is yes, you can actually, because Mother Earth is big enough to, and that's part of her purpose, is to take that energy and transmute it, change it into energy that actually feeds stuff. It you can simply stand in your favorite place in your house. You don't have to even go outside and do it. Ideally be on the ground floor, ideally be without shoes and, you know, like shoes and socks on or whatever. But just go to your favorite place and just stand there and just allow it, just ask Mother Earth to take it away and feel that fear going out and through and down and out and into Mother Earth and be thankful for it. Just do a simple thing like that. Those within the audience that are more, we say, advanced and have their own ceremonial processes and all this sort of thing and understand energy flow, perhaps they're therapists themselves, you know, this sort of thing, or, you know, as connected as you are and as sensitive like that, then just, you know, either just go to the favorite place and do that in your own special way. But the other thing to do is to douse, get a dousing rod, just get a, you know, bend a coat hanger, ask for the most positive and beneficial earth energy center in your home, and you'll find it, and it'll probably be where you would have stood it anyway intuitively, but that's probably going to be the most powerful earth energy center, and that's the most effective place to stand and allow that to go through. So people can do that. Or, you know, the bottom line for those that are less connected and don't fancy all that sort of stuff, just be mindful of it. Just allow yourself not to be fearful of the fear is one thing. Recognizing that you feel fearful, you know, that's half the battle. Because otherwise, you know, the reason that we fire off and have arguments and all of this sort of stress and you know, you get fireworks between couples half the time is because they don't even realize how they're feeling. They're just reacting all the time rather than allowing, understanding how you're emotionally processing something and responding rather than reacting with a knee-jerk sort of, you know, kick. So I think self-knowledge is absolutely vital, and self-knowledge is really the way for anybody to help ride tough times. It's understanding who you are, understanding how you respond to situations, and trying your best and asking for help if necessary. Ask upstairs, ask whatever, you know, whatever form of protection you know, the individual considers to be appropriate. Ask them, you know, Archangel Michael or any of the archangels, they're all there. They'll help. Or, you know, as I say, Mother Earth or, you know, any of those things. I think, you know, it's the situation we are in is one that we have all co-created. This power of change is what we have all been asking for, you know. Light workers all over the world have been asking for the shift to occur, and some people call it an ascension and all the rest of it. So they've been asking for it for decades. So I don't think any of us need be surprised that we have the chaos of change around us, and that's what this is. Any change is accompanied by a process of chaos, a process of complete disruption before you come out the other side. And that's exactly what we've got. It's a healing. This is a healing reaction on a global scale. This is Mother Earth and the management going, yep, you've got to change, guys. So have some of that, you know, and that's what's happening.
It's so true. Well, I love the idea of dousing for the energy center in the house. I haven't even thought about doing that. I'm totally going to do that tonight when I'm done being on these lives. And you know, something that came, there are two things that came to mind when you were talking. One was, it came to me a couple weeks ago, and it's not like I didn't know this information, but I felt like it came differently. You know, when suddenly you integrate something in a different way. But I was teaching exactly what you're talking about, you know, running a grounding cord, running energy through the planet, you know, draining out everything. I actually visualize a toilet, no joke, and I visualize flushing it and flushing everything out. But I got this message that came, I felt, directly from Mother Earth, that we are really the conduits to bring that God source energy to her. And so it's so important, and I get goosebumps when I say it, it's so important that you guys, that you do drain all that energy, because you're also filtering through your crown chakra that God source energy that's going directly into the planet. And she needs that so much to be able to co-create and do all of the amazing things she does. So that was one thing I wanted to bring up, because it's so important. And then the other thing is, I had this clairvoyant vision. I've been working on, you know, what does 2021 look like? You know, what does it look like as we go forward? And I had this vision, you know, and something you just said sparked it in my head. But, you know, of all the people across the planet, we're all tucked into our homes, and it almost looked like a Norman Rockwell painting. It was like everybody's homes are lit up and it's snowy and it's like Christmas time and everybody's tucked in their homes with their families. And there's like mass chaos going on outside. Outside of the homes, it's like mass chaos. It's like war and famine and all this mayhem, but we're all just joyful in our little homes. And so I forget what it was even now that you said, but I think it's important for everyone to realize we're co-creating the change, but we're also co-creating that microcosm within the macrocosm of how we live, how we choose to react to all of this, and to be able to stay in that space. It's part of why we're doing this awakening. Yeah. I mean, this is a much better way to spend the day than spending it scrolling right now.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. Because it's very, very easy to forget that actually the only way that change in the world occurs is with individual tiny, tiny, tiny little choices of each individual one of us. And that's what it is. It's not that we know, I was saying this yesterday to a group, that we can't go out there and suddenly change the world. So, you know, one of the things that we're told about constantly is that we're in a major extinction event. Okay, right. So you can't just sort of step outside and go, oh, no, we'll change that. We'll stop that. We'll turn that one off. Of course we can't. But what we do is individually tiny, tiny little things, tiny little things, even as we know with the bees, you know, the massive loss of biodiversity that's occurring, which is one of the things that's driving the extinction event, is that actually, you know, as soon as some publicity comes out about that the bees are dying off and how important the bees are, then everybody starts, you know, looking after their little patch of land and getting more biodiversity in a very basic and simple way. It's these really simple little things that actually mount up. It's the butterfly effect, isn't it? It's chaos theory. It's the butterfly effect, where a small, you know, the butterfly flaps its wings and on one side of the earth, and on the other side of the earth, there's, you know, a hurricane develops. But it's the mass wave that is developed by small and tiny actions, and that's all we need to do, is to take tiny actions. We can take big ones if we want, you know, if we want to take to the streets and start rioting, then they're great, you know, fine. But also at the same time, don't ever forget, I'm saying this generally, I'm not speaking specifically to you, Lisa, but don't ever forget that, you know, we have an emotional state of being, but there's also our human need and desire to act, to do stuff. Those two things are not necessarily ever connected. Yeah. What I mean by that is, if you decide to go out and riot in the streets, then your emotional response, what's happening emotionally to you, which is really the part that matters about a human being, is the emotional processing. Then what you're doing is actually, you are often filled with rage, filled with anger, fear, adrenaline, you know, it's a physiological process of adrenaline hurtling through your body. If you're getting into a riot situation, then, and so what are you processing there? What good does that emotional connection do for all the energy that you're around? You as an energy being, why are you delving into the energy of fear, anger, aggression, violence, all of those things which actually reflects things like abuse, you know. And maybe that's the point. Maybe somebody that says, right, I'm going out to do something about this. I'm going to go riot in the streets. Maybe the energy of abuse is in their background somewhere along the line, you know. So what do you do? Well, it doesn't, I'm not saying don't riot. I'm not saying don't take up arms if that's what you want to do. Don't quote me on that. I'll change the subject slightly. What I'm saying is don't feel that, you know, some people will want to take up, will want to take action. They'll want to do stuff. What I'm saying is just be aware of the emotion that's driving that desire to do stuff, to be an activist, and to be aware that whatever you do is going to have consequences, and therefore you should be mindful and expect consequences, because in the human world, law and effect takes its toll. You can call it karma if you want, but law and effect, same thing. Cause and effect, same thing is what I meant. So...
No, I agree with you. And I want to share like a direct example with everybody of what you're talking about, which is when you feel a call to action, like right now, there's a lot of us that want to do something to support the light. And for me, in March, on March 24th, when Colorado went into quarantine, I felt that. I'm an indigo. I was like, I have to do something about this. And what you want to do is do exactly what you're saying. You take the emotion. You say, okay, there's fear, there's anger, there's worry, there's stress, there's all these things. And you have to, or you want to, not half, but you want to kind of put those over here and go into the heart-centered space. Because when I went into the heart-centered space, it was like, immediately, it was like, get everybody together, get them on YouTube, get them on live somehow, and let's get resources to everyone who is on a spiritual path. And this was born, this whole channel, this right. Everything. So there are ways to take action that are heart-centered and that, yeah, go out of the fear energy and out of the stress, just like we're talking about, because you can, yeah, be in that fear. And we've all been there. We've been in that, oh my, yeah, God, like, is, you know, what's going to happen? And psychic or not, I'm still feel, yeah, that way, guys. We're, yeah, still human, you know, it doesn't matter what we, yeah, see or feel. And sometimes what I see is like, yikes, I don't want to see that. I don't want to. So the point, yeah, is, just like you're saying, Tim, is this channel is a direct example of a heart-centered call to action to support us in this time of the unknown with these resources and tools to be able to support you to get to the next level, to find people like you, Tim, to find your channel, to find, yeah, all of us who are part of this, like everyone who's come together for this, and everybody that I've connected with this year has been this really lovely connection of, I just really think you have something to share. So let's get you out here to share it. And so that, yeah, is something you guys can do. And I want to invite everybody who's watching, there's a lot of you on, I would love to hear a few things from you guys. One, I'd love to hear what you're doing to release your fear or to take action on what you feel. I would love to hear if you have questions for Tim or myself. I would love to hear if you're struggling with fear. You know, what are you struggling with? Go ahead and throw them in the comments box so that Tim and I can talk to you about that. We'd love to do that. I know there's a lot of you here, and it just takes one person to make a comment and then we can get going. But yeah, so I agree with you, Tim. I mean, I think it's really important right now that we allow that fear, run it through us, and then really look at what the high heart, the compassionate space really wants us to do here.
I mean, you're absolutely right to relate it to the heart, because, you know, we, in my work, I get used to, as I said right at the start, to perceiving, you know, the environment as a part of us, as a part of, so what I see is a part of me. You know, it's almost scientific fact now that that is a projection out there, and it's created from within here. I say it's almost scientific fact because it's still, as much of science is, it's still theoretical, and, you know, various papers are being published about this aspect of consciousness, etc., etc., etc. But once this sort of information hits the mainstream, because it will, because it's true, this is illusory, this is a part of us, literally, but it's absolutely driven by the heart. And that's why we have to constantly, I feel, as this is what you were saying, is we have to constantly readjust our perspective, where we're looking at ourselves, how we're looking at ourselves. Are we looking at ourselves in the day-to-day monkey chatter human-based energy, which can very often simply mean that we're not grounded because we're looking back at past memories or we're thinking about what's going to happen in the future. We're simply everywhere but here and now. Or when we shift up to the spiritual perspective and we see ourselves as being connected to absolutely everything in every way, and you get these really magical moments, both internal, literally internal or external, when you get miracles of manifesting, magic manifesting literally, that's a very spiritual perspective. And we have to really keep adjusting our perspective because we are human and we're human for a reason, you know. And so this idea of abandoning the ego, for example, of saying, well, actually the self, the ego that is driving all this human stuff that I'm experiencing here and now in the 2020 is actually, no, we shouldn't be having that. You know, we've got to get rid of that. We've got to suppress that and leave that alone because I want to be a spiritual enlightened being. Well, actually, I would say you embrace ego, but you just be prepared to move from it as often as you can to adopt the spiritual perspective, to allow the spiritual information to come through, that connection to come through, and step into the magic as often as you can. I use magic in a loose term there, not specifically. But that's the art of where we're going, I think, as a species, is because, you know, after this and the next big change, whatever that is, then, you know, people will be very much more awake and aware and in alignment with their true selves, because we're entering this this period of transparency, and it's transparency between people as much as it is, you know, transparency of self and understanding self. You know, we have a role to play in this as human beings, and we have to function from the heart in order to actually optimize that role of being the human being. And then we can adopt as often as possible the spiritual perspective and function from that perspective as well. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And we, of course, now we've got all these comments. I love you guys. Thank you for all these messages you have. Speak Up and Stand Strong says, when you listen to your heart instead of being led by your head, it will guide you to the actions you need to take. Beautiful. Heather, hi. Karen, hi. She says, I'm doing my best to let life flow. And Heather also says, if your actions cause pain or hurt others, it's not from the head. Hope for Peace says, hi, I've been inundated with moths.
Yeah, that's the one that jumped out at me. Yeah, Hope for Peace, does that mean anything? Yeah, well, with something like that, you want to ask yourself, what do moths mean to you? What do moths mean? They're things that come out of the darkness and go to the light. How wonderful is that? You know, fantastic. To me, that's what it represents. Hopefully to you, that's what that represents too.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. When things, you know, when life manifests around you, the only thing that you can ask yourself on an intellectual level is, what does that mean to me? Because there's no point in me asking, you know, somebody else, well, what does that mean? I mean, all due respect to all the comments and things. But what I mean is to learn to self-analyze and to connect emotionally to, because I'm hoping that Hope for Peace there being inundated by moths is a nice thing, you know, or, you know, hopefully they're not just trying to swat them to get them out of the house, because you know what I mean. But what does it mean to them? What, always ask, what does it mean to me? Fantastic.
Yeah, I love Mary. So Mary has a question, and Claire actually has a statement that I feel like goes with Mary's question. So Mary's question is, I share a household with others with high levels of fear and anxiety. I have my go-to ways to overcome my own, yet theirs is feeling suffocating to me. Any thoughts? And Claire says she feels the call to action strongly, but she's struggling with what she should be contributing. And so those are a couple of questions. So what do you think, Tim? What are your thoughts about being suffocated?
Well, sharing a household with people that have got a massive amount of fear and anxiety, it's a really difficult one, especially if they are family. That makes it even more difficult. But really, you do have to focus on yourself first. So you have to put the protection in. I mean, you say there, Mary, that you've got your go-to ways to overcome your own fears and stuff. But I would start to really be very, very mindful about your own protection, your energy work. So bear it, you know, really become aware of the, you know, you're the physical being, but really become aware of your auric field and the fact that every time, if you're sharing a space, you're sharing the energy of that person. So their fear is out there in their auric field anyway. Bearing in mind that this, the heart chakra, for example, goes for a good 8 feet quite often. So if you're in a room, you're going to be sharing the heartfelt energy of it all, right? So you need to protect yourself, just to learn some really quick ways of doing it. Again, we don't know Mary's situation, but with somebody that is a highly sensitive person and is surrounded by people that are exhibiting fear and anxiety, that's the most important thing to learn, is to actually just be aware, know yourself, know what is your energy and what is somebody else's. So that actually, as soon as you get hit by something that you think, you know, knocks you a little bit, then you know, well, no, you've got to clear that away because that's not my stuff. And you literally are just working on it. Subtle energy management, that's what I call it all the time. Subtle energy management, really important to put the shields in, as well as to open the heart in the right times and the right places. But in that situation, put the shields in place.
And yeah, then well, Claire and was... you said, sorry to interrupt, something you said earlier about looking, like allowing the conflict and looking at what it feels, I think it applies here too. Because when I, for example, I mean, I really have only been to a food store. That's basically the only places I've been this year. And when I do, there's a lot of fear, you know, there's people who are afraid to get close to you. There's people who are afraid of everything that's going on. There's just fear energy. And I think, look at what that brings up for you personally. So if you're around these people who you feel suffocated by the fear, I'd ask yourself, well, what is this, or how is this serving me? What is this teaching me? What do I do with this? You know, I do a lot of chanting, in my head, at the grocery store, and just chant, you know, I'll chant Om Namah Shivaya or Om Mani Padme Hum or something like that. And just really allow that energy to move through me and down into the earth so that I'm helping those people kind of dump some of their energy. But I would also just look at what it's bringing up for you. So that's something I wanted to throw in, because it's still conflict. It's still shadow energy that's coming into your space for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And and I mean, I'm lucky in that I don't actually have to go out a lot at all. So my contact with the outside world with a lot of that fear energy is very, very limited indeed. And actually, when I have been out to the occasional store, actually what I find is a lot of humour, you know, which is lovely, because I don't know whether it's just because we're English. It's just like, we're just like, just, you know, we just laugh at these things. That's not true, because it's not all everybody laughing. But I have, you know, I was really surprised that there was a lot of humor out there. Having said that, you know, I mean, I know people who have lost loved ones to COVID, so it's not a laughing matter by any means. But Claire, we didn't touch on her. So it struggled. Claire says that she struggled with fear this year, but have found journaling. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, well, that's great. That wasn't the question, was it? That it was.
No, she had said. Oh, it is great. She said that she was struggling with what to contribute. You know, she wants to take action.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, but, you know, the thing is that actually sometimes we feel obliged to do something, or we feel we should be doing something. But if you're not inspired, or I mean, in a way, it's like you said, if you open your heart and actually there's no kind of inspirational flash of, oh, I really want to do this or I really want to do that, don't worry. Just don't, you know, don't allow the shoulds. I should be doing something, or I must do something about this, to take over. Because actually, as we said earlier on, living in your own world and doing your own self-healing in this moment will enable the flow and enable the inspiration to come in the next moment. So don't stress it, don't worry about it, don't feel the need to do anything. Just meditate if you want to meditate, and meditate and just meditate. Spend the whole day meditating if you want. It doesn't matter, because one day you'll wake up and actually you'll think, oh, I'm going to go and do that. And you're going to do that. So let's not beat ourselves up. You know, we beat ourselves up far too much most of the time.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, being creative, I know Claire and she's an artist. And I think, you know, your call to action can simply be creating beautiful things for the world. Right. And really looking at why are you feeling like you aren't already contributing? You know, look at that within yourself too. You know, I think it's important because we all want to do more. And I've struggled with it the last few days. Like, should I take a stand in certain things? Should I not? Like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I mean, see, right? There's like all this. And at the end of the day, you know, we have to go with what feels right in our hearts. We have to go with what feels right from those higher wisdom above us. And at the end of the day, like, it's really about just sharing love and joy and creating community and trusting in the process, because we're not going to know the answers always, you know, we're just not.
No. No. And I mean, there is so much, there is so much talk about co-creating, and we are co-creating. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, the biggest underlying point of all of it is that the creator is feeding information through before we're even aware of it. So we are actually most of the time responding to what the creator is feeding through. Now, obviously, the creator is feeding stuff into the environment of reality in response to what we're doing. But, you know, there's a whole 50 minutes that we could spend talking about whether free will is actually something that applies to the human form, because I'm not entirely sure that it is. We have the illusion of free will, and we have to work from that fundamental point of view. But what I'm trying to get at is that the creator, when so many mediums are asked about the state of the world, conflict in the world, and all of this chaos, and what can we do about it, so often the response is, all is as it should be. And actually, that is how it just presents the picture. All is as it should be. In each individual single moment, everything is as it should be. And it is, all we are doing is observing everything that is in our awareness. That doesn't mean to say that we don't need to take action, because if we're inevitably, if we're fed information and if free will doesn't exist, then we're going to be taking action anyway. But our role is to observe, because as you said earlier on, we are co-creating with Mother Earth. We exist within that energy field. We are simply mobile bits of Mother Earth anyway, because we're three-dimensional matter in that aspect. But with the spiritual being inside of us, which is the thing that really, really matters and counts, that is what is doing the emotional processing. That's what's enabling us to do the emotional processing. If we didn't have the spirit there, if we didn't have spirit and contact with the management, then actually we would just be emotionally responding to everything in that knee-jerk way. We wouldn't actually be using the intellect to actually analyze and transform and transfigure things. From good to, the wrong way around, from bad to good. I was actually going to say from good to even better, that's the wrong word to start with. But I'm going to go with that. We wouldn't transfigure things from good to even better. I think that's a really nice way of putting it.
It is.
That's
it
the is. Wrong.
Yes. And, you know, Carrie, who is one of the presenters, you know, she said this is 2020, you know, is going to be this incredible year for all of us, like when we look back. And I think it's really important that we keep that in mind. So it's beautifully said, Tim. Yeah. And time flies. So I want to share how folks can find you, connect with you. And I hope you're coming back in 2021 and come back on the show, because I just love talking to you.
I'll come back whenever you invite me, Lisa. I'll try and be a bit more involved next time. You can find me, just Google me, Tim Walter House Healer or Tim Walter Dowser on YouTube. Sign up to the YouTube channel. It's great. We do lives and all the rest of it. Not as often as you do, but that's great. Or www.knightsrose.com. That's KNIGHTSROSE.com. So, yeah.
Well, so much love to you.
That's very sweet. I feel a bit of a fool because I didn't spot the comments. I didn't click on the tab. I had the private chat tab open, so I didn't see anything.
Oh my gosh, there's a great amount of them now. So, and you guys can keep commenting after for sure. And just thank you so much, Tim. We're going to be coming right back here at the 11 o'clock hour Mountain Time with Victoria Jane. She's going to be talking about how to ascend through the pandemic. Please click subscribe if you haven't already. I'm trying to remember to say that because I just don't. So I'm really trying this particular week to say it. But thank you, Tim. I hope you have an amazing day and or night, I guess it is now there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Bless you. Thank you very, very much. It's been great fun.
See you guys in 5 minutes. Bye.
Okay. Bye, guys.